This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Pat and Stu, 888-727. Back would be the number to call, should you be so inclined.
We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, my gosh, would we ever. Good morning, everybody. Beautiful morning this morning, the morning time.
Because we care about you.
We've got some Britney Spears coming up in just a few minutes. And right after that, we're going to get the lead out. Well, not until 7 o'clock tonight, because that's the time. It's what we call day-parted. We can't play Led Zeppelin until nighttime, because it's too hard. So we're going to get the let out around 7 o'clock tonight from 7 to 8. It's the all-let-out hour here.
I love the teasing on radio like that. Because, you know, every freaking radio station does it. Every TV station does it. Hey, if you hang around for the next 3.5 hours, I'm going to talk about this story. It's like, no. You don't want to wait for 3.5 hours? What year do you think it is? If you say something like a headline like that, I'm just going to look it up on the internet.
Good point. Especially now, yeah.
Right. It's just like, I always hear that. Yeah. Like, I used to listen to a morning show, a news-based morning show as I would come into work. And they would be like, okay, everybody, just want to tell you that coming up at 9:35, it's going to be, we're going to talk to selectman Tim Tempton, who's going to tell us about his new pothole removal proposal that could save us up to 8% on our local street cleaning fees. And it's like, first of all, it's a terrible tease. I don't care what he says, and I don't care what the policy is, but it's 6:15.
But if you're interested in Tim Tempton's...
If you are, it's 6:15. Don't tell me he's coming up at 9:35.
Yeah, because you can look up the story and see potholes in Dallas and already get the details. You don't need to listen to Tim Tempton.
Tim Tempton. And he's a good guy. I mean, a good guy in the community. I mean, I don't think there's any problem with Tim per se. I'm just saying...
He cheated on his wife three or four times.
Yeah, a couple of times. And he did murder several of his former spouses.
Nobody, he says they all deserved murdering, though. He didn't say that.
At trial.
He said he's never murdered anybody who didn't deserve murdering.
Yeah, and he didn't use the G. I mean, he did say murdering.
No, he does say murdering. He's from Texas.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, that's just, like, first of all, I mean, even if you want to hear the interview, it's just too far of a tease. Like, as a host, like, wouldn't you say, coming up, we're going to talk to Tim Tempkin about the pothole problem and his past murders. His past murdering.
Now, I'm sticking around for that.
Right.
I'm sticking around
I might do that.
Murders.
I might hold out till 9:35 to hear that.
Potholes might not interest me as much.
But, I mean, the point is, though, just say it's coming up. Don't say it's coming up at 9:35. No one's going to be here. We're all driving to work. We're all going to be in, like, our fourth meeting of the day at 9:35. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Jeffy, did you want to comment on that? I know you're a big local radio star.
And a fan of Tim Tempton, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God.
Tim Tempton.
I interviewed him a couple of times about his
Yeah. Oh, his murder plan.
So.
Actually, you're absolutely right, Stu. Except that with the new way that they monitor radio stations, they want the shows to give timestamps to interviews, but only like every hour. You know, not more than an hour.
That's right, because of the people meter thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like 7:50.
It's a weird new world.
They want that appointment listening.
Yeah, that is always big. Appointment listening is a big thing in radio. And it's also a big thing in TV. I mean, every news show tells you, coming up, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. However, I will say, at least personally, and I don't know if this is true for everyone else, almost all the time, those promos talk me out of tuning in.
Because I'm like, because you'll find you're not interested in any of those stories.
I don't care what who Tim murdered with
right.
his pothole.
Yeah. It's interesting because ESPN will list on the side of the screen.
Perfect example of this.
Like the list and in what order they're going to talk about. Like in a few minutes, we're going to talk about hockey. And I'm like, okay, I don't care about hockey. Yeah. I'm going to turn it. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about soccer and the international Premier Leagues in London. I'm not interested
in
that.
You are convincing me not to watch by doing that.
Because, yes. So you really run the risk.
Right. Like if I see two stories from now is a Philadelphia Eagles story. Yeah, maybe I'll stick around for it. So you might get another couple minutes out of me occasionally. But
or
most
you might
of the time,
tune out and then come back.
Right. Most of the time, though, you're just going to show me a list of stories that even that I might not necessarily want to watch. And I've made this point with Glenn. Like, if Glenn were to start the show every day and say, here are the 12 stories. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about a new Gwyneth Paltrow website that it has health cures. People will be like, I'm going to hear Glenn Beck talk about Gwyneth Paltrow's website. Well, when you find out what the story is and how he did it, which was a really funny break about her and Jade Eggs, and go back on the radio podcast if you want to hear that one because it was hilarious. But like you're saying to people, judge this by the story rather than what your host will do to it. And maybe that makes some sense in the straight broadcasting news world, but like the way the story is done is why you like shows. It's not because they're covering specific stories necessarily. It's what's additional on top of that, which is the personalities involved, the way they present their facts.
Because pretty much everybody's covering the same stuff, as a rule.
I mean, we try to do different stories sometimes.
Except us. We're doing the Jade Egg story.
Yes.
Because of where she puts that, because it's fun.
You probably did. I don't know. And by the way, I've never tried it, Pat, so I don't know if it's fun, but I'm glad you have a review on it.
No, Jeffy said it's fun.
Okay.
Jeffy puts it where the sun doesn't shine on him.
I use the thin wax. You know, I don't like to use it without the wax floss to hold on. I get a little nervous.
I don't want to ever hear you say that again. Thank you.
This is sticky, man.
Yeah, no, and it's true, though. I mean, you hear that, especially if you're doing a traditional politics talk show. I mean, it's the same five or six stories everybody covers every day. I mean, we try to do something different than that. But, I mean, why do you listen to, Rush Limbaugh talk about the Rex Tillerson appointment, because you think he's going to say something interesting about it. If you go into that saying, okay, I don't care about the Rex Tillerson appointment, you're not going to listen to him. If you listen to that segment, I promise you, you're going to wind up finding something interesting in it. I used to listen to a show, and I still listen to both hosts separately, Mike and the Mad Dog from New York. You listened to him as well, Pat, when we were there. And they did, one of the things I loved about that show is they did the best job with interviews about topics I didn't care about. They would talk to the commissioner of the Major League Soccer and make that a freaking interesting interview. Now, if you tease me, hey, by the way, the commissioner of Major League Soccer is going to come up in 4 hours. You got to tune in for that. I'm not tuning in. But because I know those hosts and the way they do those interviews, and I know that I like them over and over and over again, I am going to tune in. And they will somehow make that topic interesting. We've fallen away from the idea that the personality is the one that you tune in for. And I know that's, at least for me, that's what I do. And it's why I don't tune in when Jeffy does his show on Saturdays here on the Blaze Radio. Because I know no matter what stories he's covering, it's going to be him speaking.
Doesn't matter.
And I don't want that.
He could be talking about Tim Tempton's
We're going to cover that
affairs.
In depth this Saturday coming up.
All of his affairs and why he had them and who he had them with. And I wouldn't listen.
Second segment.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're not interested.
You're not
going to
lead
show.
With a multi-murdering...
No. Second hour.
Okay.
Second hour. 9:17 Central.
The other part that's really crazy about that now is so much of your listenership and viewership is digital. Yeah. So the idea to tease these segments is so much less valuable on those mediums because... I mean, you know, it works for ratings on terrestrial radio, but like when you're talking about how many people are tuning in, you need to keep them tuned in right now. Like, you don't need to tune them. You don't need to say, hey, come back to this live stream in 3 hours. You need to keep them there now. That's such a bizarre thing. I've never understood that. And every programmer in the universe says that's the right thing to do. And I'm sure there's plenty of research to back that up. But, man, I might be in the minority. It just never affects me that way. I'm never like, oh, wow, great. I can't wait to see that.
It never feels right doing it, but they continue they to want
to do
it done.
Yeah, it's a we do a Facebook promo every day in which we say a couple of things that we're going to talk about on the next day's show. And, you know, most of it, like, obviously we can't tell you what the news of the day is going to be tomorrow, because we're doing it like today, halfway through the show. At some point in a commercial break, we'll record our promo for tomorrow. And that promo will tell you a couple of sort of, you know, evergreen, you know, goofy stories that will be funny when we do them, if we do them, which is, you know, also somewhat rare. But when we'll tell you a couple of stories, and like you might say to yourself, I don't care about that story. And B, if I do care about the story, I'm going to Google it now. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow when you're doing the show. And then listen to a 2-hour show to hopefully find the one break that you do talk about that. But I mean, everybody says you're supposed to do them.
Yes.
So you do them.
Yes, they do. And that actually came probably from research in the 60s and 70s. Maybe not even relevant today. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right. Democrats have introduced a bill. This is fun. This is going to be a fun 4 years. Mm. To take the nuclear football out of Donald Trump's hands.
Oh, my gosh.
Who would you give it to? At that point,
Nancy Pelosi, probably.
Foreign policy reported that the bill was introduced by Edward McCarkey. Edward Markey from Massachusetts, and Ted Lieu of California. The article notes that Lieu has a paper sign outside his office that reads "Alternate Fact Free Zone." He's funny because he's saying the president has alternate facts.
What a nice little gift, though, to Democrats, the alternative facts quote. What a nice gift. That's the gift that keeps on
really
giving
was.
For them right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's legitimate.
It's a legitimate
it was
complaint.
A stupid thing to say.
Stupid thing to say.
Trump was asked by ABC News about the responsibility of receiving the nuclear codes, and he responded, it was a very sobering moment. It's very, very, very scary, in a sense.
He did say that, which was... very. We didn't even play any of those clips from that interview last night. I did watch some of it. That is what he said. And
it's very, very, very scary in a sense, he said.
And he said something like, I have faith that in that moment I'll do the right thing.
That is bad.
You're not more confident than that? Like, you have faith you'll do the right thing? I kind of hope you're a little bit pretty sure on that one, you know.
Markey said in a statement that that nuclear war is the gravest risk to human survival. What about climate change?
What kind
of irresponsible Democratic douchebag is this guy?
And Ed Markey is a hardcore climate change guy, too. I mean, he's one of the guys leading that stuff.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. He was likely referring to Trump's comments in March. He was asked about a hypothetical ISIS strike and responded, I'd never take any of my credit cards off the table. Any of my cards off the table.
Or his credit cards.
Not credit cards. The bill has gained support from various global disarmament groups, but if you take the nuclear football from the president, I don't know who would receive it. Maybe one of the generals? Maybe that would make sense?
Mattis?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
We freaking elected him. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea for him. I mean, I do not want Donald Trump's hands on the nuclear codes. Straight out, I think you know that if you watch the show. However, he won the election, and that's part of the job. Would it even be, I guess it probably would be legal to strip him somehow?
I'm not sure we'd have to look into
that.
That's
a real constitutional crisis. But, I mean, you want to talk about balance of
power. Well, there's more than, first of all, there's more than one person that has to push that button and turn that key in the line of succession anyway.
Incredibly limited. Mm-hmm. You're right, it isn't just that easy. But it's incredibly limited. Like, legitimately, it's his job, Donald Trump, solely to order the attack for any reason. Now, whether the person actually presses the button or not, and the general, abdicates his duty, I mean, really, or whoever, you know, that's possible. There are situations that I hope that
would
happen.
They've done simulations on that. Where
it's incredibly limited oversight on that.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But
we could start a nuclear war with a bad day.
The people involved who actually have to do the launching, like at the weapons sites and all of that, whether they actually push the buttons and do the things they're supposed to do to begin the nuclear war. It's fascinating sometimes the simulations and the outcomes that they've had. We should look into that. We should do a segment on that sometime.
Yeah, there's a really good story that I read. It was during the campaign when they were saying if Trump wins, he'll have control of the nuclear codes and he can basically launch whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And they explained the process. There's not much, though, to it. There's no oversight. There's no, like, panel that says, yes, this is a good launch. There's no need to confer with generals. It's just the generals have to actually execute the activity. So there, like, if you remember Genesis, Land of Confusion, the documentary music video that they made about the Reagan administration, it's not quite that he might press nuke instead of nurse on the buttons next to his bed. it's not quite that, but it's not that far away. Like, he's not actually pressing the button himself, but it's his gig. He gets to choose. And that's been the case with all the presidents.
Right.
Trump.
There's no time for a panel to discuss, especially if it's...
Right.
If we're doing the bombing, there's time for that. But if we're being attacked, I mean, there's really no time for a panel to decide.
And that's why it's set up this way. And that's why it makes sense. However, you know, there's never been a president like Trump who seemingly flies off the handle as often publicly.
I honestly, as
bad as I feel about the Trump presidency in the future, I mean, so far it's been fine, with some exceptions. But in the future, I mean, I'm not necessarily optimistic, but we'll judge it as it goes. But I don't think he's going to start launching nuclear weapons and blow up
Finland was the joke anyway with the campaign,
joke,
right?
It was a joke.
Had woke up with his Twitter account.
And I do think there's a risk there, probably more than any other president. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I am worried that some foreign leader will do something to piss Donald Trump off.
But it's still low.
But it's still low.
It's a low, low risk.
War bombing, conventional bombing, maybe. I mean, nuclear weapons. I got to believe this guy
more
is
like
not going
to bombing somebody with a tweet storm is probably
the most likely.
The most likely.
And that definitely will happen.
So that will happen.
Chances 100%.
You know that's coming. All right. You can take a positive step toward self-reliance. Now, we talk about certain things that can happen in the future and, you know, nuclear war,
like nuclear
of course.
Nuclear war. That's a good example.
That's a good example. It's pretty extreme, but it's possible. What's more likely, things like weather-related events. You know, we've had power go out before, job loss. This gets you covered for 4 weeks with My Patriot Supply. At such an incredibly affordable rate.
And obviously the chances are almost none that Donald Trump is going to start firing nuclear weapons for fun. Right. However, I mean, it's not none that he would get into a battle with Kim Jong-un and he would do it, or, you know, some terrorist would do it here. Mm-hmm. And so there is a legitimate worry here. And I obviously, unlike global warming, it is a real catastrophic risk. And you know what? You know, most likely, you know, you order from My Patriot Supply, you're hopefully never going to have to worry about this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? You have an insurance policy there for you. You know what? The other thing is, as you get further in, and you're like, well, you know what? Maybe I need to, you know, after the food lasts 25 years, so you don't have to do this often. But if you go through 20 years and you're like, well, you know, we're getting towards the end of that, you just eat the food and it's really good food. You don't have to worry about just having a bunch of storage you're never going to utilize. You can still eat the food. It's really delicious. And in addition to that, you're covered in case things really do hit the fan.
That's right. And, you know, we've talked before, things don't even have to hit the fan. It could be the threat of them hitting the fan. It's happened in Houston about 10 years ago or so when a hurricane was, a Category 5 hurricane was on its way. It never made it there, but everybody evacuated. And so 3.5 million people were out on the roadways and everybody got stuck in a traffic jam.
And that's where people died, by the way.
And that's where people died. 24 people died on the roads. And so it was a mess for about a week. I mean, stores were closed, the banks were closed, the ATMs were empty, and you couldn't buy food even if you wanted to. That's why it really comes in handy to be prepared for at least a month. Call them today, 888-411-5290, 888-411-5290, or at preparewiththeblaze.com. Do it now. All right. Hi. 888-727-BECK. Another really good move by the Trump administration. He's done some pleasing things so far.
Sure.
And, you know, if he keeps it up, it's going to be great. And we'll be the first to say, all right, we were wrong about this guy. He was awesome. I'd love to be able to say that at the end of this thing.
There are levels here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, laying this out from before the election, we said he was going to be really bad. My belief was he was going to be very bad. There were obviously hardcore Trump supporters who said he was going to be really good. So far, I'd say the group that's been accurate for the first week, which is not much saying much of anything, are the people who were, I would describe them as the skeptical Trump supporters, who called us and said, look, I don't like the guy either. He's going to do a lot of bad things, but he also will do some good things. It's going to be a mixed bag, and that's much better than Hillary Clinton. Right? Like, we would not have had a lot of the positive things. So far, I would say that analysis is winning out, though it's very early. And the issue here is, you're going to definitely get some things that are conservative. We even said that in our analysis. You're going to get some things that are great. The issue is, does he respect the Constitution? Does he do these things with a process that's legally? Are the bad things so bad you can't see the good? The bottom line is, if he does go down really dark, bad roads, and the economy falls apart because of his trade battles, you're not going to see a lot of wonder. You're not going to care that he got a few jobs at Carrier. Like, that's not going to wind up winning you over.
Right.
Which he didn't do, by the way.
But this great news is that we had the revelation on Monday that Obama had quietly approved $221 million in payments to the Palestinian Authority. As far as I'm concerned, a group of terrorists. Just hours before his inauguration ceremony, Trump just put a freeze on that. just
that's
said,
good.
Nope.
Now, I don't know that he can do anything about it. I believe what he said was, the State Department will investigate the matter and stop the payment if it's inappropriate. So there's a lot of disqualified. First of all, they will stop it if they can.
If it's inappropriate.
And if it's inappropriate. Also, I wonder if this has something to do with the fact that all the State Department people stepped down. Maybe. The entire senior leadership of the State Department, if you missed this story from a little bit earlier, today has stepped down and what they are calling it the largest mass exodus of officials at the State Department at senior level management levels in history. Now, that does not necessarily mean that's a bad thing. Some of those people might have been terrible, and maybe we're really happy they've left. I don't know yet. Well, we will know. And also, if you are not willing to execute the president's vision, and this is from a guy who thinks the president's vision is not the right vision, but if you're not willing to execute the president's vision, you shouldn't be freaking working there. It's why I said Mitt Romney was a bad choice for Secretary of State, not because I don't think I would rather have Mitt Romney's vision than Trump's vision when it comes to overseas operations. But you can't have a guy who's calling Russia our largest geopolitical threat when we have a president who said they're the best guys in the world. Doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Now, Tillerson has expressed some skepticism, which is healthy. That's different than Romney, who said they were our biggest geopolitical threat. It's different than, it doesn't make any sense. You have to be able to execute your vision. And I think might be what's going on here. And then if that's the case, it's good. I mean, if he wants to stop a giant payment to the Palestinians, he should. We shouldn't be, obviously. These are things that are opposed by 80 and 90% of the American people. We do not believe we are in a position in which we have enough money to fork over a bunch of cash to other countries, even if we like them in most cases. I mean, with the couple of exceptions, Israel is probably one that's more split. But every other country on earth, the American people do not want to be funding. Mm-hmm. We don't think we can fund ourselves, which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, we can't. We've got $19 trillion in debt and counting. So,
indeed.
I mean, I think it's a good move.
Speaking of Donald Trump, what is Kellyanne Conway's position in this administration? She's got an official position, right? Is she?
Yes, she's not. She does. She was initially not going to take a role in the administration, and then she wound up taking one. Jeffy, do you have the title in front of you? I don't know, but it's not. They talked about her in Spicer's role initially, and she smartly. Avoids that role because there's no winning in that role.
She's terrible. She's gotten terrible lately.
Counselor?
She's a counselor to the president?
Yeah, she's another one of those Bannon type positions where it's sort of unofficial but official.
Her title in 1998 was apparently a stand-up comedian.
Pardon me?
She was doing stand-up comedy in 1998. I can't really envision it, but apparently there's actual proof to help us envision it. And here's stand-up comedy from Kellyanne Conway.
Hi, everybody. Hey, thanks so much for having me here tonight. Before I get started, I want to tell you the funniest thing happened to me today. You know when you have one of those days where not one but two things that never, ever happens to you? I'm walking down the street, I look up, and I see Haley's Comet. I get back to the office, and I'm accurately quoted in a Ralph Hello article.
This
is one of those days.
Oof.
It's not really stand-up comedy. She's doing some comedy at a charity.
Like, well, everybody heard I was going to be in this comedy show, and they're like, break a leg. So I did. And you think blondes are dumb.
Oof. Comedy's hard, man.
She is dying up there. Oh, my.
You're
but
a charity
event. I thought about using the leg as an excuse. And I said, now, you know what? I'll just be honest with people. They say, what happened to your leg? And I said, I got surgery. And that's the truth. They say, what's wrong? Especially here in D.C. At home in New Jersey, where I got the surgery, people ask you and they listen and they intently hear. It's like, no, what really happened? Did you kick Susan Estridge? What really happened? And they're like, no, I have a congenital deformity. My bones are growing out. Tell me what really happened. So I came up tonight with the five reasons why Kellyanne's foot in a cast.
I think I'd like to just, I don't
Number
think
five.
I could take the five.
This is going to be bad.
But she's going to get to the five reasons.
Here we go. Here's the five.
Number four. Mm-hmm. Having just two of his own, Chris Matthews needed someone else's foot to stick in his mouth.
Cute.
Number three, I went salsa dancing with Jerry Nadler.
I don't know who that is.
Number two, I was caught between Jonathan Turley and a camera.
Okay.
And the number one reason why Kellyanne's foot is really in a cast, that Fred Thompson's bizarre and kinky foot fetish.
Wow.
I mean,
it's
that
really, really bad.
I know this.
It's not easy to do, though. Comedy is, you know, it might look easy to some, but it's not necessarily when you're in front of a group like that and you start dying like that.
Number one,
it's best just to sit down.
Yeah. No,
just go sit down. Stop the rest of your routine. I don't care what you have planned.
Good
night. Just stop doing it, especially at a charity event. She's obviously at some charity event there, children something or other.
Yeah. No,
you're up there and you're trying to make people laugh and you're noticing it's not working. Just sit down. Just say, hey, okay, here's
you can't though,
Jeffy.
Right?
Come on out. And you sit your ass down.
It's funny
and
because
stop it.
Watching people bomb at stand-up comedy,
it's
I
hard.
Know in my head, I know logically in my head, it's not the worst thing that happens on the planet.
It feels like it, though.
It feels like it, man. Yeah. I mean, it is. That is so hard to watch. There's nothing that makes me laugh harder than watching, some stand-up comic bombing, but not necessarily in real life, but like on shows. Like I remember like Cliff Clavin did it on Cheers at one point. I mean, it was just awesome. There's something I can't stop laughing watching that for some reason. And watching it here is really uncomfortable. There's something really,
really uncomfortable,
like gut-wrenching about that process. And who cares, right? Like some charity event from a million years ago.
She told a few jokes.
She told a few jokes. She probably actually helped some kids. I mean, there shouldn't be anything bad about that moment. Who cares? She's not a stand-up comedian. Who cares if she bombed? But it's so gut-wrenching. It's so cringeworthy. It's so hard to watch.
Yep. Yep.
That was
that was painful.
Holy God, that was painful.
That was painful.
Woo!
Yeah, good thing she gave that up because
she did. But again, she was not doing stand-up.
That's I know, but she was trying to be funny, and she's just not.
No,
she's just.
That's the reason that she quit, though. That's why she's not doing it anymore.
I don't think that's true. She made a charity appearance, which they said they wanted to have people. They do this all the time.
Get up and do some funny stuff.
Yeah, the reporters need to
do it. All you gotta do is just get up and do 5 minutes.
I mean, leave the comedy to the professionals is legitimately a really good piece of advice.
That's a real thing.
I always think that, you know, hosting an award show is the most difficult job in show business.
I wouldn't want to do it.
Because you're supposed to be funny. You have to do it in short bursts. You have to be respectful to everybody, generally speaking. And there's huge audience. They're not really, it's not a comedy environment. You know, they're all in tuxes. It's just like a.
Exactly. You touched on something that's really important. There are certain venues and certain environments and certain places where you just don't try that. And like when people are in tuxes and you're at like a dinner thing, if they're sitting down to dinner and there's waiters coming up to their table all the time. People aren't paying enough attention to be funny.
No. Nope.
So just get up there, be straight, make your announcements, sit your butt down because it's not going to work.
Yep.
And so when you start trying to be funny at like a some sort of dinner event, don't. That never works.
Do you have any examples?
know.
Not that I can think of right now.
Yeah. Really?
No.
Huh.
I mean, I like could. I just don't. I don't want to.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
More Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
Because I'm.
Yes.
I know which one.
Like, there was a recent dinner where Stu and I were in the crowd, and you were trying to be funny.
No, I was not.
And
no, that is
it
not true.
Just didn't. No.
No, that's
it
not
doesn't
true.
Doesn't work exactly. So. All right. Well, Brexit. It's about to happen, supposedly.
Yeah, Theresa May is coming over talking to Trump today, tomorrow. When is that, Jeff? You have any idea? They're going to talk about Brexit.
Theresa May being the new prime minister, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to get used to that because it's been Cameron for a while.
No kidding.
And barely knew Cameron.
And Tony Blair was the one we all kind of knew. And that was
Tony Blair was kind of the last one that we really paid much attention to, and because he was such a great ally. But he was actually pretty liberal.
Yeah, he was.
Tony Blair.
He just believed in the Iraq War.
Yeah,
that was really the reason. And you know, he was very good at articulating the reasons why it was a good idea.
Sure was.
And he was powerful. And, yeah, I mean, and those arguments honestly still resonate. I mean, you know, while obviously the weapons of mass destruction did not turn out, I mean,
no.
The arguments for the Iraq War, there's still a lot of justification there. Certainly the UN sort of stuff that went on with them firing at our planes is a really good example of
if
that.
If Bush would have articulated his points of view the way Tony Blair did, he wouldn't have had nearly the problems.
Do you remember exactly kind of how he put it when he was arguing for the war?
There are some people over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Saddam and some others who are they're bad.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, that was a pretty good case.
And we are. We over here,
yes,
in this country, in America, are good.
Oh, okay, that's right. That was the
that's
part.
That's kind of how
me.
He put it.
Yeah, that was and, the part. That's pretty successful. But here, I guess they're now coming up with. They're thinking other countries in Europe are going to try to get out of.
Almost immediately, other countries were hinting.
Yeah, and proposing. They would. So I guess if, you know, Brexit is kind of a catchy name. That might have been the reason why it passed. People like saying Brexit.
Yeah.
Let's keep
that around a while longer. Let's vote yes.
So there's some other examples for Austria. If Austria were to pull out, we have a map here. Austria, Austria La Vista.
That's good.
That's a pretty solid one.
Yeah, I like that.
Czech Republic, check out.
Austria Luego is good too.
Okay, yeah.
Because those are both, like Arnold Schwarzenegger things? Didn't he say both those things? You did Czech Republic.
Yep, check out. Denmark, dump mark, which is all right. Dunmark is another one. Copenhagen.
Finland, Finnish. That's good. See, they're Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
They're fit.
Mm-hmm.
Finland,
which is the name of the country, but also Finn, like finished land.
Okay. Helsinkhole.
France, you got Frexit, which I like a lot. I'm just skipping some of these. Adieu is good.
We out is great.
We out is really good.
KC, that's the French word for yes. We out.
Yes, I like that.
But that's like W-E also. See what they're doing?
Germany, Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel.
That's great.
Not that, obviously. Grexit for Greece is a good one.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Alexit, hell out.
Hungary, Dungary. Like D-O-N-E, Dungary.
And instead of Hungary, they're full.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're ready to leave now. That's good.
It took me a minute on that one.
Yeah, I like that.
Ireland, let's see. I like Retireland.
That's pretty
solid.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Italy.
Okay.
That's nice. Italexit.
I
like Quiddly as well. Quiddly is good.
I like the Netherlands. Nethermind.
Also for Italy, we cannot exclude Pasta La Vista.
Pasta La Vista, baby.
There's no way.
Funny.
What else you got? Sweden. Swexit. That sounds too much like sweat. Mm-hmm. Sweeparcher.
Good. Some of those are pretty good.
Those are pretty solid.
Not bad.
You need the catchy name these days. We were talking about that with the little MMA battle we're talking about today. We had the dopey Deadspin author and a real MMA and an American hero, Tim Kennedy. People were like, you need a hashtag. You need a hashtag. I guess we do. I guess that's the world we're in now. We can't just have a good idea and have people understand it. You have to have a catchy name that you put after a pound sign.
Jeffy had a good one earlier. He said it should be 18.
Yeah.
It was. I didn't really get it, but it was. He thought it was really good.
Hashtag 18.
Yeah, Jeffy, hashtag 18.
Well, there's also hashtag spoons.
And milk.
Hashtag milk.
You know what'd go good with this fight? Milk.
Well, that could be a sponsor.
Milk, just generally speaking?
Absolutely. Well, the American
Milk Association. Yeah, Dairy Association. You really know that. You know your stuff on that one.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. Mm-hmm. All right, Chili's restaurants in two states are donating profits to Planned Parenthood. Why is that happening? Not that I like Chili's anyway, necessarily, but...
I used to work at Chili's.
Yeah, I like Chili's.
Did you?
I've got a history with them. Yes, yeah. I was fired from Chili's.
You were fired?
I was fired from Chili's.
Is there some lingering ill will there?
You know, a little bit, no. Yeah. It was funny. I did get fired from Chili's.
What'd you do?
It was a BS firing. I mean, can we get that out of the way first? Oh, I mean, it was a BS firing.
We can. Let's get that out of the way.
I was not a good waiter. Was not a good server, as they say. I was very focused on getting the food out to the people. Mm-hmm. I did not want to make friends with people because I know when I go to the restaurant, I don't go to make friends with the waiters.
I hate that.
I think, well, Pat, you would have liked me as a waiter. Pat would have liked me.
Yeah. Jeff, come take my order.
Yep.
Bring my food.
Yep.
Get I don't want to make way. Small talk with yep. you because I don't know you, and yeah. I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that.
I don't want you.
Plus, see. I've probably come to the restaurant with others,
yep.
right?
Would you rather
We're
talk
talking,
to?
Mm-hmm. not you.
It's not a time for new relationships.
Right.
It is not a time for the experience, though.
Yeah. Jeffy would have hated me because I would not have talked to him.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, nobody
Oh,
talks
I would
to
have
Jeffy.
Made you talk to
him. No, you're right. And I would have smiled. Okay, so what did you want on the nachos then?
Like, that That's was exactly my, how I'd be.
Yes. I play along exactly. and then move on with my life. So, yeah. anyway, they did a secret shopper on me. As they do those secret shoppers.
They do that?
Yeah, where they'll just they'll send somebody in.
At Chili's?
Oh, yeah.
Graded you?
And they will grade you on all the things you're supposed to do. What did I get on that test? You might have guessed that I did badly. No, I got a 98 out of 100. Okay, so I did all the things I was supposed to do. And this is 2 weeks before I got fired. I got a 98 out of 100 on my secret shopper.
Okay.
Well, that's great. Because you were doing your job. I mean, that's what you were...
Yes. The way it happened...
So you were pleasant, though, right? I mean, you were not nasty to people or rude or anything. You took their order.
I did not strike
up their food.
Conversations. That was my thing. I just got the food. I did all the things. I checked all the boxes, got your food out, and then got on with my life. So anyway, I at this time I was dating a girl who also worked at Chili's, so there was I was dating one girl, and there was another one of her friends was very attractive as well, and as you may know, a man who just left this network, Mr. Dan Andros, a good friend of mine, was interested in dating the other girl who worked there. So at one point we were all out together. And we went back to the restaurant because they needed to get something. And I brought, so we all went inside. I brought Dan inside. The restaurant had just closed. We were just kind of standing inside the door waiting. And they fired me for bringing a non-employee inside the restaurant.
Gotta be kidding me.
I just got a 98 on my secret shopper.
That sucks.
I'm still angry at you for that, Chili's.
That sucks.
And then this abortion thing's pretty bad, too.
But, I mean, you knew the rules, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you knew the rules.
I did not know the rules. It seemed completely absurd.
Do they ever tell you that? Hey, after we close, don't bring anybody in here. They wouldn't,
no.
they wouldn't really.
And, of course, the real reason was that the manager didn't like me and he had a good excuse to fire me.
Did he not like you because you weren't interactive with the people?
I was not those restaurants. This is back. You watch Office Space and they go to tchotchkes and they're coming out with their pieces of flair. That was very much the attitude of restaurants at the time where you'd, put on your buttons and go, hey, everybody. I was not that guy at all.
I don't know where people are getting this idea that you need to interact so much with people.
No.
Like at the grocery store, I'll be putting food on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And the checkout person will be commenting on my food.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Are you having a big party this weekend? What are you going to do with it? I don't want to talk to you about what I'm doing with my food.
Yeah.
Put it in a sack and let's get on with life.
Right.
I'm done with it.
Yeah, I don't know. This isn't my favorite brand of chicken salad. I don't care.
Oh, do you like this kind? Well, yeah, that's why it's on your freaking conveyor belt right now. My brother-in-law had an amazing interaction with that small talk bull crap.
Yeah.
And they do it on the phone a lot now. I've noticed that when you call companies and you finally get to an actual person, they're overly friendly.
Oh, I know.
Like you go to customer service at any of these places.
Oh, how you doing today? What's going on?
Are you having a nice day? What did you do today?
Are you having a nice day?
I don't want to talk to you about my day.
I want a lower interest rate. That's what I want.
And you might get a lower one if you're a little bit nicer to the person on the other end of the phone.
But I don't want that. That's not what I'm doing.
That's not what I want.
Okay. Just be a little bit nicer.
Reset my internet or reset my cable or whatever it is I'm calling you about. I don't want to talk to you about my day. My brother-in-law was here for, my mother-in-law just died. So my brother-in-law's here to see his mom in the last days of her life. And so after she passed last week, he calls the flower shop. And he's ordering flowers, funeral arrangements for, like the funeral spray, what will go on the casket, right. What will be placed on
all the wraps, everything.
Yeah, all of that stuff. So they get to that point where she's taking some information and there's a lull in the conversation for a second. And she knows it kicks into her that, now I've got to make my small talk. Well, so, Mr. Coleman, what are you doing this weekend? You have any fun plans? No, just pretty much the funeral. I'm ordering funeral arrangements. Pretty much just the funeral. You want to come? It's going to be fun. Unbelievable. I mean, stop with that nonsense.
I know, it really is bothersome.
People don't know how to make small talk anyway. They're hiring these millennials who've never spoken to anybody because they've been playing video games their whole life.
So they're reading it on their cards, actually.
Exactly
so
right.
So how is your day going?
I notice all of them, all the customer service reps ask the same thing. How's your day going? You got any plans this weekend?
Yeah, it is really the same stuff.
What are you wearing right now?
Wait, what?
I know.
You get that one?
Once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're calling the wrong number.
Okay.
You might want to try that again.
You might be
888-727 Beck is the number. Back with more Jeffy time, I think, in
calling,
a second.
Calling the correct number. I was that much.
To prove an earlier point, if we had said, by the way, coming up, Pat's brother's interaction with a grocery store attendant, you wouldn't have stayed.
Good point. Some stories that Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us so we don't have to talk anymore.
I love this segment. It's my favorite one.
First of all, we are getting reports that the president of Mexico canceled his visit.
It's big news, actually.
Have a nice day. Donald Trump, you can talk about the wall all you want. I'm not going to meet with you. Goodbye.
And obviously, if you're Mexico, obviously, you should not go meet with him.
If you're Mexico, you hate this guy's guts right now.
Although, Trump was just saying glorious things about him, about what a great job he's doing, and,
about the Mexican leader?
Mexican leader, yeah. Wow. He was saying before that they were smart and outsmarting us, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And now, I think because he wants... Donald Trump wants out of this situation is to build whatever portion of the wall he's going to build so he can say he built it. And then he wants to have some trade statistic come in that favors the United States in some weird way that he's going to be able to justify has paid for it. And obviously Mexico wants the exact opposite. Even if they did pay for it, they wanted to deny that they paid for it. Mm-hmm. That was actually what Trump said in the interview yesterday. He said, Mexican president said he's not going to pay for this. He goes, well, they have to say that. He has to say that. No, but I mean, let's take a step back from that. If you're Mexico's president, you're supposed to have a good relationship with this guy. He's telling the world that you're lying to your own people. he has to say that. I mean, I don't know how you have a relationship.
I don't know.
My response, if I'm interviewing Trump and he says that to me, I would say, well, you have to say that.
That's right.
Exactly.
You have to continually say Mexico is going to pay when you know full well they're not going to.
But you promise
how
you have to.
How in the hell are you going to make them pay for the wall? They're not going. They're going to pay. They're going to what? Send you a check for $12 billion after you build this thing?
Right. Like,
No way.
Let me give you an example of how he might do this, right? He might say, if a company goes to Mexico, we're going to put a 35% tariff on it, right? And then he would say, well, obviously some cars will still make their way over here or whatever. Some of these factories will still send products here. And he will add up all of the money that comes in with this tariff, despite the fact that it might kill our trade and cost us billions and billions in other areas. He'll take one little minor statistic and say that tariff, you know, made, you know, whatever, $1 billion here. And then another one over there caused $1 billion. And then overall they paid for it or paid for half of it or whatever he winds up saying.
It's bullcrap.
Bottom line is it's not happening.
Who is the fourth largest oil supplier to the United States of America?
Well, Mexico. That would be Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just guessing on context.
I mean, if you're talking about tariffs back and forth, they win that all day.
And he actually has tossed the idea of putting a tariff on oil. So you would be paying extra in gas to pay off the wall that Mexico's paying off.
Right.
That's you paying it. That's you paying it off. That's not Mexico.
That's not them.
And the way tariffs work, by the way, which they never tell you, is the tariff is not put on the country. It's not a tax on Mexico.
Yes, it is.
It's a tax on the United States company that imports the product. So they put the tax on this side of the border. They can't put a tax on Mexico.
What?
It's Mexico. They make their own laws. They wait until this thing gets here, and then they tax the company that's actually providing the product to you. That's what a tariff is.
You're saying that Mexico doesn't fill out a tax return at the end of the year and mail it into the IRS?
No, that is not how that happens.
Oh, well.
Okay. You're penalizing U.S. businesses that are importing goods. That's what a tariff is.
Weird.
Ugh, agonizing.
Whatever. And Theresa May, the new head of the United Kingdom, will be here on Friday.
Friday. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yay! I can't wait for her to come.
Here.
See ya.